John and Eureka Street Crypto, broadcasting live from Leander, Texas at 8:05 in the morning on a Sunday morning, January 16th, 2022. This is episode number 390 of the Eureka Street Crypto podcast. And yeah, man, keeping on, keeping on every single day doing the deal. This is just my morning brain dump and me just kind of regurgitating what I'm learning about crypto and going along this crypto journey every single day. And yeah, so it's not always perfect. It's not always correct. It's not always a deep dive or whatever. It is what it is, but it's fun. And I've gotten to learn a lot and meet some really cool people along the way, have done some really good episodes and some not so good episodes. And it's also been a fun experimentation in a sandbox and a playground on just doing video streaming and stuff like that. So yeah, man. So welcome. Let's see here. I'm not sponsored by anybody. I'm not shilling anything. This is not financial advice. It's not even technical advice or fundamental advice on any of this stuff. I'm not teaching you anything, so don't take it that way. All right. So, let's go over here to the old CoinGecko. This is usually where I start, or it's always where I start pretty much. And I just kind of look at where we are in the crypto market right now. So let me just pull an old refresh on this page here and see what's going on. It looks like we have some green going on today. So yesterday and today we have some green. It looks like Bitcoin's up 0.5% in the past 24 hours, $43,294.29. Ethereum, $3,350.09, up 1.1%. Binance Coin, $498.04. Tether stablecoin, number five, Solana, up 3.51% to $150.41. USDC stablecoin, up 0.2%. Yeah, it's a dollar. Of course, the stablecoin. Cardano, $1.41, up 10%. 10.9% at to $1.41. I wonder what's going on over there with Cardano. Are they putting some stuff out now? I guess we'll find out. Maybe XRP, 77 cents. Just even Steven from yesterday. Terra, 87.16%, up 3.5%, up 30% in the past 7 days. It's a real good week for Terra. Polkadot, 2783, up 2.2% in the past 24 hours, 15.7% in the past 7 days. And then we have Dogecoin and Avalanche and Shiba Inu and Polygon following after that. Avalanche is in the green by 3%, up 11.8% in the past 7 days. The Doge is up 18%, but down 25% in the past 24 hours. I guess old Elon Musk and his pronouncement that you can buy Tesla stuff with Dogecoin is kind of wearing off now. Doge seems to kind of shift along the winds of whatever comes out of Elon Musk's mouth. So, yeah. All right. So, yeah, it's why I don't buy into Doge, you know. Yeah, I don't know. You know, the longer I'm in this crypto game, the more I'm finding just some of the blue chips are kind of where I want to be, unless I'm just completely dicking around and, you know, playing around with some new protocols and kind of seeing how it works, like the levers and pulleys. Let me shut this window because the sun is just blasting in. Okay, so yeah, it's that early morning sun. Usually I'm up before dark, before the sun comes out, but it's a little later today. It's Sunday and I did sleep in kind of. Polygon, $2.33 and up 16.7% in the past 7 days. Cosmos up 21.2% in the past 7 days, 10% in the past 24 hours. Near Protocol up 44.9%. Apparently there's been some moves being made on the Near Protocol platform. I'll need to go check it out, man. And another one to go check out along with Phantom, Avalanche. You know, I've been exploring Oasis as well, you know, other different types of blockchains and seeing what makes them special and what differentiates them. So we do have an episode coming up very soon that I will be covering the NEAR protocol because there's some platforms being built on top of NEAR that I think are garnering some attention. And yeah, I think I'm going to have to take a look. And Chainlink is 2606. It's up 2% in the past 7 days. All right. So anyway, what I wanted to talk about today is, hold on. Let me pull up my chat window. Just make sure all is quiet. Okay. All right. If you're listening now, you know, feel free to say hello. I always take a look at my chats, or I try to, and I try to be interactive. Although, you know, I don't really say any type of regular time that I come on. I just kind of come on when I come on. So I don't expect everybody to be just like jumping on and knowing exactly when I'm going to be on. So you just kind of catch me when I'm on, man. Other than that, you just listen to the recorded version. So I'm also on the team for Crypto Sapiens, and Crypto Sapiens is a podcast that started out in the Bankless DAO. And, since then, it's kind of branching out, and it's been a real fun team to be a part of, and to learn how to do to create a podcast as a team. I'm kind of a solo independent operator type of guy. I've always been that way with pretty much most everything that I've done. So this has been a really good transformative process for me in a way to learn how to function as a team. So I am, my role on this team is as a content editor. So part of the process for creating a podcast as a team is, you know, you have your research team, your marketing team, you have the host, you have, you know, the AV team, which is me and another guy. Yeah, and you have the design team. Everything's broken into teams, and everybody has their little part to play, and they play that part, and we have a process flow, and we go through that process flow every week, and once a week we come out with an episode. So what happens is the research team finds a person or a project they would like to interview and talk about. And they end up doing the interview, and they do it live in the Bankless DAO once a week. So that's one of the perks of being a member of the Bankless DAO, is you get to hear this stuff as it's happening. So it's recorded. Well, I get those raw recordings, and I'm a content editor. So I have to basically listen to it and make sure that, you know, if there's any audio, major audio problems, calls, parts dropping out, major dead space, ums, ahs. I mean, I don't get rid of the ums and ahs for that much, for that matter, unless they're just terrible. If there's some incoherent rambling or just some real time sensitive information that has nothing to do with the show or something like that, I just chop stuff like that out, and I try to truncate the show and keep it right around 40 minutes. And I do that once a week, and it's a fun experience. And I do get some really good alpha from listening to a lot of these programs and a lot of these guests come on. And I've really enjoyed, you know, the part that I've played on a podcast team. So yeah, that's the type of work that I'm looking to move into more in the future. One particular show that I did last week was this one here, Genomes DAO, Decentralizing Your DNA. This to me kind of stood out. I'll read the little intro here. We're back with another episode of Crypto Sapiens. Today we're talking with Aldo De Pape and Genomes DAO intern, co-founder and contributor of Genomes DAO, respectively. We learn about the DNA data bank, and that puts you in control of your genome. Genomes DAO seeks to address privacy, security, and ownership concerns of DNA testing and sharing by building the world's largest user-owned genome data bank and secure the future of personalized medicine. We discuss the privacy risks of using direct-to-consumer genetics companies like Ancestry.com and 23andMe, and why we should be mindful of securing our genomic data. So let's get started. So I thought this was really interesting because there seems to be a DAO for everything right now. And we're kind of getting to the point where we're starting to question exactly, you know, what is and what isn't a legit DAO. I mean, but if you don't know what a DAO is, it's a decentralized autonomous organization. And it's meant to take the verticalization out of companies, the top-down hierarchical structure, and to flatten the organizations and let, you know, the people within the organizations all have a fair say-so, a fair vote in the policies and the payments and stuff like that, and just the way the company operates. It's a decentralized autonomous organization that works like a computer. You know, it uses code as the intermediary, and that's a DAO. So anyway, here's the Genomes DAO, and it was really interesting to me because, you know, we all know Ancestry.com and 23andMe, and, you know, my mom offered me to, you know, oh, I can buy you, you know, your genomic or your genetic breakdown. You know, all you gotta do is swab it and send it in. And I turned it down. I'm not really into that. And I don't want some large company having my genetic information like that. Just giving it to them, you know, and I'm a little more wary, but for a lot of people, it's no big deal to them. And it's fun. You know, you have some kind of common bond. And, you know, I know a lot of older people, you know, they get real concerned about, you know, what their ancestry is and stuff like that. And, you know, they start running into health problems and they want to know, you know, what they might be, you know, predisposed to and stuff like that. And I get it, you know, it's fun to kind of learn about your heritage a little bit, you know, and so you might pop up a surprise. Maybe you got some twin, you know, somewhere or some sibling somewhere that you don't know about. You know, you have talk shows like Good Morning America sitting here dramatizing it and making it to be like an amazing thing. But what do those companies do with that data? You know, are they rage farming your data? That is a thing, you know. Companies like Facebook, you know, would Facebook be able to buy this type of genomic data and to be able to see what people are predisposed to that would cause rage in them, and then be able to kind of feed more of that on their feed to generate clicks and therefore generate income and generate this rage? I mean, rage farming is a thing, you know, that social media giants are using. And there have been court cases that have been piling up of people being instigated by social media rage. And, you know, going out and committing acts of violence and stuff like that, based on rage farming. So I don't know. It's just, to me, it seems like an interesting topic. I'm like, oh no, somebody else wanting to collect our DNA. She says, sounds like the intro to a good horror sci-fi movie. Yeah. You know, but what if you could be in consistent control of your data, of your genomic data, and it was locked under safe and key, and you held the private keys and you held the seed phrase to that, and it was locked in the blockchain in that way, and not in some, you know, social media company or Ancestry or 23andMe type of company. I do have a little excerpt here that I wanted to play and to kind of give you an idea. You know, like a lot of these Web 2.0 companies, I don't think that they at first mean malicious intent. Everybody just wants to make money, right? So here, I'll play you this little clip, and hopefully the sound will be even.
I think there are two sides here, right? There tips me, and I don't mind if I get, you know, when I accept the cookies, I get customized ads and whatever more. Kind of what we do see here, that every step of the way, it needs to be a conscious process. So you can sign off on whether you want this or not, right? And I think this is also very much what Facebook, currently known as Meta, is of course doing. They're trying to showcase to you that they're being very transparent with the use of your data if and when they're using it. The problem that we see is that it's still based on a trust relationship. It's still based on the assumption that you as a user trust Mark Zuckerberg and team that they will do the right thing with your data. And that once you basically say, I don't want you to do that anymore, that they will obey and stop doing that. Now, this trust is all nice and lovely, but what indeed happens, like in the case of Ancestry.com, when this company gets taken over for $4.7 billion and the trust contract that you originally had with, Ancestry.com or whichever tool is thrown out of the window because the new, you know, there's a new chief in town and that company says, we're going to do it all different and we're going to monetize on your data. And there are, and that is the scary part, right? So it's not necessarily, we don't mean to say that from the outset, these Web 2.0 social platforms are in it to get your data and kind of want to make money and harass you where you don't want to be harassed or whatever. That's one bridge too far, but we are indeed saying that the relationship is based on a trust and your data is in kind of a central database, which you have no control over. And that central database, if the company is successful, will get sold or parts of it will get sold and will be used for other tools. And the same goes for you.
That's kind of the gist of that, you know. I don't think that a lot of these companies are out there, you know, trying to, you know, sitting there like the evil man, you know, that you see in the cartoons wearing the cloak and, you know, wringing his hands, taking over world domination. That's not really what happens in real life, you know. The worst type of evil comes from banality. And banality is kind of just like the boring every single day type of actions and maneuvers that happen. And, that's where real evil comes from. You know, just it's about people. I'm just doing my job. You know, I'm just this. I'm not the bad guy. You know, I just got mouths to feed at home. So I'm just doing my job. You know, that's all it is. And in this case, you know, you have this company, you know, Ancestry.com, 23andMe and stuff like that. And you have them supplying this service and collecting this information. And then, they're, of course, getting money from you paying for that. But then they get a lot of other money by selling that information on stuff that you sign off on. Okay. And then if you don't, you know, that trust relationship is, if you don't permit that, that trust relationship is there. They're not sitting there wringing their hands like some kind of evil, malicious, you know, corporate overlord trying to enslave humanity. But, you know, what happens when another company comes along and they buy that data and, then they start using it for malicious purposes. And then there's a disconnect there. There's a human disconnect. There's the immediate relationship that was the source of the trust there is gone. And, so all our parts of that information is now being used for malicious purposes and potentially even stuff like rage farming, like I had mentioned before. And, that's where the banality comes in, you know, and that's where the true evil happens. And that's that's the importance of having to have ownership over all your data that is really important. And here's a little something from Humpty. He's the host, and I wanted to play this little snippet here real quick.
We should recognize too that there are social pressures that maybe sometimes will have us do something that maybe that's not what we really wanted to do, but other people are doing it. So then we end up deciding to do it too. And of course, game mechanics don't help that matter, right? Because they really just maybe force us to do something without fully considering the repercussions. So as an example, I remember a lot of my friends were jumping onto like Facebook and Instagram. And while I was always very mindful of my digital footprint, I just fell into that rabbit hole because I was like, oh, my family is there. I want to be able to communicate with them. Or I have friends who are there who I haven't been able to talk to in a long time. But, you know, while the front end is nice and I did have access to friends and family that I didn't before on a regular basis, the back end is a little bit, you know, a little darker than that, isn't it? Because there is that data harvesting and monetization and profiling even that happens that then ends up, you know, doing more harm than good for ourselves. So to your point, I think of, you know, these kits like Ancestry and 23andMe is that while, and I do remember there was a craze for a long time where that was the gift to give for into the holidays. And so there were, you know, folks who were just signing up. Fortunately, I didn't. But I definitely felt like I should have, because I felt like I was missing out on something. Like my friends and maybe some of my family members were doing it. And I was like, oh, like I really should try that because I want to get more information about myself. But, you know, knowing now and maybe using other, you know, companies as an example, other institutions as an example of what they do with that data, I'm kind of glad that I didn't, because that, you know, was information that I would have freely been giving up. And then, you know, allowing, I guess, for some of the scenario.
Yeah, that's Humpty's take on that part. And, you know, I would just say, just go listen to this podcast and listen to the entirety of it. There's a lot of really good information. Those are just a couple little nugs of information I wanted to show you. So let's go over to this website real quick and take a look at genomes.io. So yeah, basically here it is. You know, you just like 23andMe and Ancestry, you know, you pay the money, you get the swab kit and all that stuff. And so it at the front, the very start of it, it looks and acts just like a lot of those. What this to me is giving you, it's giving you the fun and the useful information. Like for instance, you know, what if you're predisposed towards some type of certain disease, that comes out, I don't know. And, you will know in advance, you know, probably the proper way to approach treatment for that, or, you know, how fast or not that you should rush to a doctor or not if you start coming up with symptoms of any type of particular disease, because then you might know if you're predisposed towards that. So the stuff like that is very helpful, but you can also own that data. And then for anybody to have access to that data, you can be the one profiting off of that and giving your permission as to whether they can use it. So what you do is, you set up your account, you know, following ordering DNA sequencing from our trusted sequencing providers, you will receive your saliva collection kit. Before sending it back to us, you must first activate your kit and set up your DNA vault. So once you have set up your web account, you can begin taking our surveys. Doing so generates health, lifestyle, and other data that boosts the value of your genomic data to researchers, meaning you can earn more. Reports, explore your whole genome and receive reports. We start with a carrier status report, giving you information on whether you're a carrier for certain genetic diseases. More reports will be made over time. And then balance, keep track of your earnings. You can earn by taking our surveys, uploading data, inviting friends, and granting access to your genome. The balance tab shows your balance earning history and allows you to deposit and withdraw. And then your mobile app, your genomes.io mobile app, connects to your DNA vault and gives you and only you control over access to your genome. Download the genomes.io application in the Google Play Store. Select new authenticator on your app and scan your unique QR code in the activate kit flow on the website. This establishes connection between your mobile app to your DNA vault. And then view the details of access requests to your genome. So if anybody wants to have access to it, like researchers or whatever, or anybody else, doctors, this includes the creator of the request, e.g. the researcher. Okay, so what information will be revealed? How much will you earn for granting permission? Also a historical log of how your data has been accessed. So you can earn the gene token by anybody using that information, right? And having access to it. And then wallet, keep track of your wallet earnings earned by taking our surveys, uploading data, inviting friends, and granting access to your genome. Your wallet shows your balance, earning history, and allows you to deposit and withdraw. Settings, adjust permission settings for third-party access to access your genome. So even if you do allow somebody access, you can change that access. Change your backup 12-word encryption seed phrase. So if you feel like your seed phrase has been compromised, well, then you have the ability to change that. Protect your app by changing your lock screen and PIN code. So yeah, man, all this stuff is basically giving you control over that data instead of having it sit in some database over on some Web2 company. And they say, well, how safe is the database where it sits right now? Well, it's in one of these AMD encrypted databases. and using cryptographic technology. And only you have access to that through your seed phrase and through your account. So, I'd say it sounds pretty secure to me. So let's go over here to NFTs. Look at this. Why this is not just another cat profile pic project, like CryptoKitties. Welcome to your DNA bank powered by AMD. Each Genomes DAO NFT includes the ability to sequence your genome to a 30x clinical grade level, giving you 100% ownership and full self-custody of your genome. What's in the package? These bundles will include a 30x clinical grade whole genome sequence. This kit can be sent anonymously. Swab your cheeks, send it back in a prepaid package. Genomes DAO world-class sequencing partner Nebula sequences your genome and securely uploads it to a protected AMD SEVES vault. Only you will ever control access to this vault. It is powered by a mobile blockchain wallet. So it's a blockchain-powered AMD vault. So much like Ledger or MetaMask wallet. This enables you to have full custody over your entire genome, so no one can access your DNA vault without your explicit permission, and not even us, as we like to say, not your keys, not your genome. And then number two, amazing cat PFP artwork by Genomes DAO in-house designer Davis Kugo. So who knows? You know, with all the stuff that's gained value in the NFT world, who knows what'll accrue value? Maybe this will be very valuable one day. I don't know. Genomes DAO specific airdrops coming soon. So if you hold one of these NFT PFPs, you might qualify for some kind of airdrop. I don't know. And I wonder if these are all generated and completely individual per cat. I'm assuming that they probably are. So very unique. And let's go over here to the tokenomics real quick and just take a look. Meet Gene, the deflationary utility token. And that's the token that you would get from being able to allow access to your data and for people to be able to use it. Proposed timeline for Gene token sale. Okay, so it looks like they already had that. Tokens instantly usable to earn, sell, stake, payment for genome sequencing. Okay. You get a discount if you do pay in the gene tokens for this. It looks like it's approximately $750 to be able to do the genome sequencing, sale of tokens for querying, earning tokens. And then there's the GNOME token, which is a governance token. So since this is a DAO, then everybody should have access and some kind of say and how the token and the DAO will operate, how this project will operate and everything like that. And it'll allow you to vote on different protocols. So governance tokens are tokens that developers create to allow token holders to help shape the future of a protocol. Governance token holders can influence decisions concerning the project, such as proposing or deciding on new feature proposals and even changing the governance system itself. GNOME holders can vote on the future direction of the company, the token distribution, or any other company decisions that require a vote. So yeah, that's the GNOME token. So there's two tokens in this project, the Gene token and the GNOME token. So yeah, Gene GNOME. All right. So anyway, that's that. That's genomes.io. Like I said, I was just content editing Crypto Sapiens here, and I was just like, I got to talk about this project, and I want to help promote Crypto Sapiens as well. I think it's an amazing show, and I'm really happy to be a part of the team here. So go add this in your Spotify or your Apple iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Amazon, whatever you use to listen to podcasts. Add in Crypto Sapiens as well. Add it to your rotation. Give like a 5 stars and whatever. And then start by listening to this one. I'll link it in the video description. I played you a couple little snippets of it, but the entire episode is super informative about what happens to our genomic data whenever we do things like Ancestry and 23andMe, and then how something like Genomes DAO can help you to actually own your own genomic data and to benefit from it. Because you say, I want to use those services like Ancestry and 23andMe, but I don't want to just give up my data, because the information would be helpful for me to know some things about myself that only my genomes might be able to tell me. But yeah, I don't want to give it up to the big bad corporate, you know, people over there. But here's a way to get around doing that and to do it safely and to still own your data. All right, man. Well, that being said, I got to get on out of here and go about my day. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Give it a thumbs up or whatever if you're on YouTube. I'm getting like 918 subscribers. I'm close to 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. So maybe I can make it to 1,000 sometime in the next month or so. I don't know. And then on Twitter, I'm almost 1,000 followers. I don't really keep that, you know, tight track of, you know, how many followers and stuff like that I get, but it, you know, 1,000 is kind of a milestone, I guess. So anyway, all right, man. Well, I will talk to you guys later. All right. Bye. Thank you for making it to the end of this program. If you actually like this content, give a thumbs up. And if you want to hear more, just hit the subscribe button. I'm available on YouTube, Odyssey, and BitChute, and on all the major podcasting platforms in audio version. Spotify specifically. If you would like to follow and leave a review, that would help a lot. I am also available on Twitter at EurekaJohn1. That's EUREKA John, JOHN, and the number 1. My DMs are always open. Feel free to shoot me a message. If you would like to donate some stablecoin or Ethereum, please feel free to send it to eurekajohn.crypto or eurekajohn.eth. This will help with the gas costs for all these protocols that I mess around with. Because that gas adds up and I ain't rich. Yet. Thanks again.